The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, we just read the Great Commission, where Jesus charged his apostles with the task of baptizing and making disciples. This took place after Jesus had risen from the dead, but before he ascended into heaven. So when Jesus told these still frightened, still doubting, to some degree, followers of his to make disciples, how were they supposed to do that? What were they supposed to say to people? It's an interesting question because we also are charged with making disciples. And that seems to be at least as intimidating for us as it was for them. But maybe it's hard because we're doing it all wrong. In modern American Christianity, the foundation of our faith in Christ is often based on a subjective personal experience. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was in the gutter, but now I'm in the penthouse. I've got Jesus in my heart. I love personal testimonies. I've told you stories of God intervening in my life in miraculous ways, stories of God's mercy toward me, stories of God changing the course of my life. I love to tell and hear those stories. But is that how you make disciples? You know, I remember as a young man in my 20s being advised in the very large church I attended to imitate the blind man from John chapter 9. He was a man born blind, but Jesus healed him, restored his sight. The only problem was that Jesus healed this blind man on the Sabbath day. And when the ruling Pharisees in Jerusalem found out, they were outraged that Jesus broke the commandment dictating that we rest on the Sabbath day. And trying to collect evidence against Jesus, they interrogated the formerly blind man and tried to bully him and intimidate him, tried to get him to make a statement against Jesus. Finally, the formerly blind man said, "Whether this man is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." That's how we do it, we're taught. You don't have to know anything about Jesus or the Christian faith. You just repeat your own personal experience. What has Jesus done for me? Is that how you tell people about Jesus? I used to be mean, but now I have Jesus in my heart and I'm nice. Well, let's talk to my spouse and get her take on that. That's a pretty subjective statement. You know, the reality is, when the formerly blind man made that very compelling statement about his own experience, "I was blind, but now I see," not one of those Pharisees changed his mind about Jesus. No one received the gift of faith. No one became a disciple or was baptized. It was a tough room, I admit. Even Rodney Dangerfield would have trouble getting a laugh out of that crowd. Nevertheless, not one of those Pharisees received the gift of faith in Christ. And here's why I bring it up. We just read in Acts chapter 2 how Peter stood up to speak to the people in Jerusalem. If we'd read a few verses more, we'd learn that 3,000 of them received the gift of faith that day and were baptized. So what did Peter say differently than the formerly blind man? Why were Peter's words so effective? Well, for one thing, Peter didn't speak about himself or his experiences. Peter spoke about Jesus Christ. He explained Jesus through the lens of the Old Testament. He presented the historic Jesus, the descendant of David, who died on an atoning death on the cross, who was murdered by us, the people he came to save. Peter spoke about Jesus, not himself. And there was nothing subjective in what he said. Subjective meaning something like, I know Jesus is real because he lives in my heart and makes me happy. That's not what he said. When telling others about Jesus Christ, Peter talked about Jesus Christ, not himself or his feelings. The great apostle Paul did the same thing. When proclaiming the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, he said this, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He was seen by hundreds of people and interacted with multiple reliable witnesses. According to St. Paul, the gospel is this. Jesus died and rose from the dead to save you from sin and death. And you can believe it because there's eyewitnesses. There's an historical record. Both Peter and Paul's faith was grounded in objective fact, not personal subjective feeling. Here's my point. When you feel rotten, Jesus died for you. Even when you're unhappy, Jesus died for you. Even when your faith is wavering, even when you're angry, even when you failed miserably, even when you're guilty as charged, Jesus died for you. Even when your addiction overwhelms you, Jesus died for you. Even when you can't feel it in your heart, even in the pit of despair when all you feel is pain and fear and bitter disappointment, even then, Jesus died for you. God has not forgotten or abandoned you. Because the death and resurrection of Jesus is not a feeling. It's an actual event with a time and place in history. It's real. It's factual. You've been forgiven. You've been redeemed. Your sin has been covered up by the righteous robes Christ has draped over you. All because God loves you beyond what you can imagine. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Confirmation Sunday here at Christ the Vine, Lord, we pray for our confirmands and for all of us that while we pray for wonderful experiences for our kids, for ourselves, wonderful spiritual experiences, Lord, we ask that our faith be grounded in actual fact, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He led a sinless life, was died and raised on the third day. It actually happened. It's history. Lord, help us to base our faith in that truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.